and welcome to We Blame Our Shelves, a podcast where two librarians discuss books, movies, games, you know, anything you can find on your shelf. I'm your host this time, James Pugh, and I am already, it's only 2 weeks into it, and I'm already behind on my 2024 reading goals. And I am joined by...
I'm Dan Major, and I found a link online yesterday where you can buy 38 Discworld novels by Terry Pratchett for $18 at HumbleBundle.com, which Humble Bundle, like, I know historically, like, they sell, like, bundles of video games for charity, like Steam games and stuff like that. And it's a really cool website, and they donate a lot to charity. And yeah, Discworld is a series that I've tried to get into.
I haven't even attempted it. I'm intimidated because, like you said, 38 novels.
Yeah.
That's a lot of novels.
And there are like, they're all related. It's all one series, but there's like sub-series within it. And like when I tried to read it for the first time, first of all, the first book, it, for some reason, is super hard to find now. Our copy at the library has been missing for a couple years, and I've tried to replace it before, and it's like not in active print, but sort of is, like, it's in a weird publishing status now.
Isn't it in an omnibus, whereas there's like the first four or five books?
I think so.
Yeah.
And like I started listening to the audiobook of the first one, but it was recorded like 35, 40 years ago or something.
You can hear the track.
The quality is so bad. I'm like, I can't even listen to this. And like people who are into Discworld or Terry Pratchett in general, who's like a very notable fantasy writer, people that are into it are like into it. And there's like, I looked up like what order should you read these books in? And it's such a rabbit hole. It's hilarious. And it seems exactly like my hyper-focused mind works, so I want to get into it. I just haven't cracked that shell.
I was going to say, Neil Gaiman, get in on this.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You were good buddies with Terry. Just if you could narrate all of these books, because Neil Gaiman has an amazing narration voice.
His books and his narration are amazing. And actually, it's funny because I really like Neil Gaiman as an author. I hated Good Omens. I couldn't stand it.
It was too British.
Super British. It was, and like, again, we've talked about this. Yeah. I love British stuff.
Dry humor.
But there's like a certain type of British humor that does not click with me. And Good Omens was that for some reason. But Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman on their own, perfectly fine.
Although the TV show.
Hated it.
Okay.
I tried really hard.
We can talk more about this next
time. But American Gods, Neil Gaiman, great book. Great TV show.
That's
for some
true.
Reason,
That's
Good
true.
Omens did not work for me. So,
but I was going to say, we can talk about that next time.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk
Let's start off with a huge tangent.
I was going to say, if you do end up reading all 38 Discworld novels, that will help you with your reading challenge goals.
Yeah, that'll basically meet it.
That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about reading tracking, reading trackers, reading books, book websites, all the fun stuff. I did mention I'm already behind on my reading goals. I put 50 again this year, like a moron, because I only read one book, and I'm like, wait, I have to read at least a book a week.
Yeah, well, just about.
And I'm not even halfway through my second book. I'm like, God, come on, man. So I'm gonna pick a lot of graphic novels mm-hmm. and a lot of kids books to catch up.
Yeah, everything counts. it's a new year, so we have people at the library making resolutions about reading goals and everything. And it's actually really cool because my book club is kind of like the same group of 8 or 9 people all the time. And I've had 3 phone calls in the last like week or two about people that want to join my book club. And that's great because
Humble
I feel
break.
Like it's the beginning of the year. People are like, my resolution is to join a book club. And then, like, everyone who uses, like, Goodreads is, like, set your goal at the beginning of the year, get your head start, or Beanstack, which is available through your public library. But we'll get into those in a couple minutes. But what do you use to track your reading?
I actually use both Goodreads and Beanstack, but mm-hmm. Beanstack mostly because I am doing the 50 books in 50 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm so mad at myself, because I'm already behind. Well, not going to make that goal. Those two are kind of, I think, very user intuitive.
Yeah.
I've used Goodreads for basically since they started. So, mm-hmm. and I was a little bit miffed when they got purchased by Amazon, but
yeah.
the interface didn't really change that much.
Well, and it does seem like Amazon has improved the website as far as usability.
Mm-hmm.
But conversely, when I use Goodreads, it is like any other social media site, which has kind of devolved into advertisements all the time, everywhere. It's all about, you know, I'm the product as a book consumer.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
The customer is actually publishers, which I'd rather be targeted by a publisher as, you know, in a profile in a database somewhere. But
there was a book I was looking up. I can't even remember the name of it, but it's not published yet. And it already has like 4 or 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the advanced reader copies. Yep. And all this other stuff. But I mean, with over 19 million, you know, users of Goodreads, like,
yeah,
you're going to get those people who just get the advanced reader copy. You're going to get the people mm-hmm. who are the readers who are trying to maybe make it as a book review critic.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea, but that's what I mostly, when I'm on Goodreads, I don't read the comments or the reviews because
yeah.
it's to me just like reading an Amazon review. Like,
I don't want
it. You're either going
to
really like it or
yeah.
you're going to really hate it.
I don't want it to taint my view
exactly.
before I finish the book.
Exactly.
And like, I'll go in and read the reviews sometimes if it's something I'm really interested in, or if I like hate a specific thing,
mm-hmm.
then I go to see if other people hated the same thing. But
I agree.
I don't really, I don't post reviews. I do leave stars, but I don't post text reviews because I feel that same way as like, if I don't like it, I don't want to taint someone else's view of it.
Right.
And the nice thing about that is, even though, you know, it is like a site rife with advertising, you know, when you have 17,000 reviews of a book, it's going to be a pretty reliable composite
yes.
score.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go on a smaller book review website and there's only 20 reviews, the publishers can and will stack those reviews
oh, absolutely.
With false positives. I mean, that goes for
anything.
Google reviews.
Yeah.
That goes for Yelp. I mean, companies pay other companies to leave fake reviews on their behalf.
All the time.
But when there's 17,000 reviews, that gets a lot harder to fake.
Right. Right.
So it is pretty reliable.
And I'll give you that. And I don't leave. I used to back in the day, but I haven't left a review in like since COVID, I think, like mm-hmm. the past 3 or 4 years. But I will leave stars.
Yeah.
And my starring review, if I gave you 1 star, I didn't finish it. If I gave you 2 stars, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
3 stars, it was all right. 4 stars, I liked it. 5 stars, I will tell everybody and their grandma to read this book. It is a fantastic book. Please read it. But that's my rating system. And I always read these ratings the same as, like, they're all basing it on how I would base it. So I get a little biased when I'm reading these reviews. Like, that's not what 3 stars means.
I wish it was like 10 or 20 stars or 100% or something. Because like most books that I read, if it was okay, it's a 3. If I liked it a lot, it's a 4.
Right.
If it's one of my favorite books of all time, it gets a 5.
Right.
But there are so many that fall into that 4 category.
Right.
That there's like very low 4s and there's very high 4s where I feel like if I could give something an 80% or a 90% or a 95%, I'd use that a lot more.
I feel that. Now, Beanstack, however.
Mm-hmm.
Beanstack is great.
Yes.
Because literally I can just go in there, I can type in the author or type in the title, it'll pop up. You can do this little thing that says like quick complete, because I don't go into these book reviews until like I'm done.
Right.
Like I will if you go through my Goodreads, you'll see that I start and finish all of my books in the same day. That's because I won't go in there to add to my list until after I'm done with the book. So that's why I like Beanstack, because that's tailor made to that. Like I go in there, type in the title, quick complete. There you go. I did not know until very recently you could leave reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do stars?
I don't think so. I think you can only leave text reviews.
Okay.
And we need to talk about that because we need to get in a better habit of approving reviews, because they don't actually get posted until somebody looks, you know, filters it for like profanity and stuff
gotcha.
Like that.
Gotcha.
And I looked at it recently. I'm like, oh, nobody's approved reviews in quite a long time. So that we got to get that into our workflow.
Definitely. Definitely.
Because they're like our patrons. And Beanstack, for people who have never heard of it or used it before, is generally available through schools and libraries.
Right.
So Orion Township Public Library offers Beanstack to track your reading, mm-hmm. minus advertisers, which is excellent. And it's a nice, like, little closed ecosystem where you can track your reading,
yeah.
and also participate in our summer reading program.
That's what I was about to get into. Yeah.
Like, you're doing
50 books in 50 weeks.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is you can add additional challenges to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to just read 50 books. You can, I think one of them is read a book by a author that doesn't look like you, or read a book about somebody that doesn't look like you, or mm-hmm. Read a book by a Native American, read a book by African-American. Like, excuse me, you can do so much more than just read a book. You can still, I read a science fiction book, a genre I've never decided to pick up and read before, although that's
right.
not true for me. But, but a romance book, mm-hmm. maybe. and it's more fun because I feel like if you just have it set to you need to complete this many books in this amount of time, you don't really retain as much, because now you're just reading just to complete the task.
Right.
You're not reading to read. This kind of gets you thinking more about it. I don't know. I really like how Beanstack is more than just a tracker. It's you can also do more.
Right. It's a tracker, but also, like, you're participating in challenges where you win prizes.
Right.
Like,
right.
This is tied in with library programming, so you can use it like Goodreads if you want.
Yeah.
But there's more to it where, you know, your school or your library or whatever will put programs in it for you to utilize as well, and have reading prompts and challenges and
all kinds
of stuff.
And
so
anybody
it's cool.
who's listening to this that is a part of 50 Books in 50 Weeks, I know it sounds daunting, but seriously, there's more than one way to win prizes. So I would say still do it.
Mm-hmm.
Still sign up. Just do the sub, I guess, would you call them side quests, submissions?
So the big programs are called challenges,
badges,
earning badges.
Okay,
if you read a book, you know, in the 50 books in 50 weeks, if you read, like, one of the badges is like read from a genre you don't usually read.
Right.
And you get a badge when you complete that. And a lot of the time the badges are tied with raffle tickets, or if you earn your 30 book badge, you
right.
get a free book.
Right.
From the
library. So there's more than one way to win a book. You don't have to complete the 50 books to win something.
Right.
That's what I really like.
There's
about
stuff
it.
Along the way. We have programs for kids, for teens, for adults. Like, there's all kinds of stuff. And again, it could just be a reading tracker for you if you want, but
there's a little bit more to it.
Yeah.
So, but these aren't the only two websites.
Right. There are a couple that are quite a bit smaller. but no less effective. Like, you can track your reading however you want. One of the next, you know, in kind of the lower tier or smaller tier is Bookly.
Mm-hmm.
And Bookly, it looks a little bit more dated than Goodreads is.
Yeah.
Because they don't have that Amazon money to, like, you know, make their website cutting edge. Still totally functional, but looks a little dated. And rather than focus on just completed this book, checkmark.
Right.
They're like, you can track things like minutes per day read,
Ooh.
Pages read.
Okay.
You can get a little bit more granular with what you want to track. And it's more about tracking habits and, like, encouraging you to make reading a habit than it is leaving reviews, which, I mean, again, that ties back into, like, advertising. Like, those reviews are used by the publishers, but Bookly, I mean, maybe they do stuff like that too, but it seems a lot more focused on the reader and their, like, day-to-day, you know, encouraging them to read more.
I've seen a couple of ads on Instagram for them, but mm-hmm. I never... That's one of the few Instagram ads that didn't work on me. if it's an ad for a retro t-shirt, I'm all in. But if it's an ad for this new reading app, I'm like, I was looking at it like, oh, that's just another way to track my books. I don't want to add to this.
Like,
I don't want to add to the stress, but it sounds a little bit more intuitive.
Yeah, and I already use Goodreads and Beanstack. So I'm like, as much as I love, you know,
yeah,
planning and tracking my reading, like I don't need a third crutch here. The other one was Storygraph.
Have not heard of this one at all.
And that this is also one that I kind of discovered as I was researching for this episode. Bookly, again, I've come across that one, I think, probably on social media before, too. Storygraph is, they market themselves as privately and minority founded and owned.
Okay.
And, like, right kind of near the top on the first page, they do say that you can import your Goodreads records, which is really cool because, like, you've been using Goodreads, what? How old is it? I think it's like 14, 15, 16 years old or something.
Yeah, but I signed up for it in like 2015, 2014.
Yeah. I was around the same time. Like, my to-be-read list is like 100 books long and grows all the time.
Right.
And, like, I have, like, you know, 500 books or something over the past several years. And migrating away from Goodreads and moving to a different thing is like, oh, now I don't remember all the stuff that I read.
Yeah.
So the fact that you can import your Goodreads profile is really important.
Yeah, because I don't want to have to go through my Goodreads profile to import, or not import, but to just type in the books I've already read 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
And then the other things that they they advertise, which I think they try to paint this to be a lot more like modern and like cutting edge than it is, but they call it AI book recommendations and AI reading buddy matches. Really, all it is like, you read a fantasy book, here's another fantasy book.
Okay.
You read, like, here's other people that read fantasy books. Here's friends' suggestions, because it is kind of a social media / reading site. It suggests friends to you, but they market that as AI friend finding, but that's not really AI. That's just like,
that's just an algorithm.
Yeah, it's the Facebook algorithm made to focus on books rather than location, or So it's cool. It's not really maybe they do use AI.
Well, okay, to just go off on a small tangent here, but do you remember when everything, like, 2 to 4 years ago, everything was smart?
Yeah.
Smart TVs, smartphones, smart watchers.
Smart coffee makers that you can't use if you don't have internet.
Now, everything is AI generated.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they're just jumping on that marketing trend, which, again,
I think so. I mean,
sounds cool.
It is a buzzword now, for sure. And it is, I mean, I still think it's exciting and interesting to see what kinds of things you can do with AI. I think this is maybe just overstating it a little bit.
Yeah.
But
have you been to that website? Did you get a chance to, like, browse around it or anything?
I did. And I just talked about this. They allow for half and quarter stars on your reviews.
Okay,
it's still a scale of 5, but you can do like 3.25 or whatever. So effectively, that gives you a scale of 1 to 20.
I would much rather prefer that. That's
Yeah.
Because I'm with you. Like, sometimes it's a low 4. Sometimes it's a high 4. I remember I was reading one of the, a lot of the reviews, I should say, on Goodreads will say, this is a 4, but it should be a 3.5, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, so yeah,
they
would love
that. They put that in the title a lot of the time. Like, almost 4-star.
Yes, almost 4-star book. So I would love to see, like, and I wonder what that does to the overall, like, score.
Yeah.
You must get a much more granular, like.
Yeah, the composite score is going to be very, I think, a lot more reflective when you can.
Yeah.
Have a scale that's that much bigger.
So moving on to the next section of this, you mentioned them as journals.
Yes.
So this is more like you're tracking them manually. You're not necessarily using a computer.
Yep.
Okay.
So reading journals, my sister actually, I mean, she uses Goodreads too. But for Christmas a couple of years ago, she asked for a Read Harder journal.
Okay.
Oh,
I know that one through Book Riot.
Yeah. Riot publishes the Read Harder journal. And, like, there is a big community of, like, people I imagine that are, like, people that like scrapbooking. Also, like, analog reading tracker journals.
Yeah.
It's a different vibe. Like, when you say someone has it, like, oh, I don't use Goodreads, I use this reading journal, I imagine, like, someone that lives in a cottage. Like a cottage core kind of, you know what I mean?
I do.
Like,
I really do.
It's a crunchier version of the same thing, which I think is like that technology backlash.
Yeah.
Creates a market.
And I feel like if you were to write down the journal physically, as opposed to typing it out, like you, it makes you kind of think
right
more about it, digest what you just read, instead of just getting on the computer, seeing what, like you said, oh, I totally agree with what this person said about this section of the book. You don't get that. It's
right.
You, your thoughts. It's more personalized for sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's sections. Some of them have like a book review on each page, and they'll have like how many stars.
Yeah.
How did you feel when you were reading it? How did you feel? So it is actually like journaling on top of just tracking your books.
And I tried to. I went to the Book Riot website to try the Read Harder Challenge, and just to see what it was about. And then when I saw you had to pay for it, I was like, but I didn't know it was a physical copy.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, you can upgrade. I haven't looked a lot at what the online component entails, but it seems pretty much like you're paying for Goodreads, which Goodreads is
that's what basically turned me off. I'm like, I don't want to pay a monthly fee. It's minimal, like what, $6? Something like that.
Yeah, it was not too expensive.
But still, I'm like, I can do this for free on Goodreads and Beanstack.
Yeah. But if you want the physical journal, like they're interesting looking, and they let you get a lot more.
Now I didn't look into it too much, but do you get like bragging rights, like, or do you get to submit like your journal at the end, and do you win something?
Not as far as I know, but I'm the vibe I get from it is people that would want to brag about it would be the type of person that uses a
reading journal?
Yeah, a reading journal. Or, like, I mean, authors. Like, if you're
a
writer, you're probably way more into something like this than you are.
That is a fair point. Yeah, because now you can kind of write down what you liked about the book and then kind of incorporate it into your writing or that storytelling style or whatever. Not to say you're going to steal from their thing. But
that's a good point.
But
like,
yeah.
You can journal about, like, which techniques, which plot devices, which descriptions. Like, you can really get
like a run on.
That's actually, I didn't think about that.
Right?
That's a good tool if you are a writer to do that. I'm sure people who like have creative writing degrees are like, that's like freshman year, first thing you ever learn.
As I was a creative writing major briefly, and yeah, that's about it. But no, I was going to say, you can write down like here, a run on sentence will create a thriller or create tension or something, right? Like, you can Faulkner this and totally. The guy does not believe in punctuation. What's My Bibliophile? Never heard of that one.
Yeah, this is another one that I stumbled on in research for the podcast episode. My Bibliophile is very similar to the Read Harder Journal.
Okay.
It's published by Penguin Random House, which is one of the biggest publishers. And
there's only like three now, right?
I mean, it used to be Penguin and it used to be Random House. And now it's Penguin Random House, soon to be Amazon full stop, because Amazon's gobbling up all these other other publishers.
Yeah.
Like when they control Goodreads and all the publishers, like, that's a little shady.
Anyway.
But yeah, that's an entire different episode, like the state of the publishing industry. We can get Cam back on.
I was gonna say, let's get Cam back
to tell
on
us
here
about the problems with that. But because it's published by Penguin Random House, like I browsed through it online. They promote a lot of their own books. Like they have a section on Oprah Book Club books, which Penguin Random House does Oprah's book club. So like that's the kind of, and they have, you know, classics and stuff that are published by a bunch of different ones. But this one does seem like they kind of try to shoehorn you into, not that that's the whole thing or the whole purpose. Like, it still looks good. It still has the same features, but that they do suggest some titles and they do try to push you their way. But,
yeah.
You know, that's fine.
I mean, that's the brilliant marketing.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with doing that. The one that I really like is actually a regular like day planner that I just bought at the beginning of the year this year. And the brand is called Clever Fox, and they make regular day planners. They make dietary planners.
Really?
They make reading journals. They make regular journals, like anything that is a book that you can write in. And like, I'm sure they make like an automotive maintenance journal or something. Like, there's a really wide variety. Wait, on their website.
Would they make like a camping journal? Because I think I have one of those.
Really?
It's really cool. You get to talk about your camping experience. Like, I went to this site at this campground mm-hmm. on this day. How long it took me to get there.
Yeah.
Things I could do while I was there. The amenities they offer. This sounds like it's, I don't know if it's, I'm going to go home and check that.
Yeah, it could. I mean, that's the kind of thing, because like in the day planner version, it's not just, you know, they have a monthly calendar, they have a weekly calendar, but they also have like weekly goals, weekly habits, weekly reflections,
yeah,
monthly reflections, annual goals, 5-year plans. Like, it's very interactive. There's like lots of like different little, almost like self-help kind of activities on that couple in and tie in. Like, I feel like I'm going to a therapist when I'm using this planner. So it's kind of cool. And the reading journal takes that same strategy of like a reading log, a daily tracker, a to-be-read list, writing reviews. It has like a pocket with like all kinds of different stickers and stuff, which is a demographic of people. I know this because of my sister.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she loves planners, and she wants all the stickers that are like doctor's appointment, pay this bill. Yep. Like, she loves the stickers that go with it.
I feel like a lot of librarians are in that camp because we're very organized. I love organization.
I do too.
I really do. And that's like, so when you see a very well-organized bookshelf or a very well, like, just everything in its right place.
Yeah.
It's just
label makers are a nice thing. And so like the Clever Fox brand, I haven't used the reading journal, but it sounds like it's a lot like the day planner. And so far, like, this day planner, like, I'm like, gotta cook dinner at home 4 times a week. I mark every little box every time I cook dinner. And like, it's been, I feel like a really like healthy thing for getting into habit of like, remember to exercise, drink your water, all this kind of stuff.
You know what? I do have on my water bottle that is a,
what is that, 8 or 9 gallons?
Like half a gallon. But it does have the times. Like, keep going. You got this.
Yeah.
From 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Although if I do finish it, I am up at least 3 or 4 times in the middle of it. But no, I get it. It's because I have a thing called the Remarkable, which is a e-ink display that you can kind of write on.
I love that thing.
It's so cool. And what I used it in school a lot, but now what I use it for is just what you described the Clever Fox for. It's like I go through, like, I have a daily planner. I write down the tasks I got to get done at work that day. I have a whole, like, this is what I'm working on this week. This is, you know, I do have a don't forget to drink your water, don't forget to work out kind of thing.
It's funny because I now have like a planner and a journal, and in the journal, it's like all the little tiny things that I'm going to forget, like call this person back, email this to this person, which if I did that in my planner, it would be like such a mess. So I have like a little journal where I just do my like daily and weekly minutia tasks and then like the bigger stuff and like the more personal, like doctor's appointments and stuff like that in my planner, whereas my journal is like just the minutia of my day-to-day work.
That's all in my phone. Go to the doctor. Oh, yeah, I got to do that.
Yeah.
So what's on your reading list? Or not, we did this last time. So how many books do you want to read this year?
I set my goal at 50 as well.
Are you doing the 50 books in 50 weeks?
I have not signed up for it because I'm the one running that program. I'm trying, like, I use Beanstack kind of on and off. I'm trying to get in the habit of using it more personally. But I use it as a work tool. So sometimes when I'm using it, I'm like, I just feel like I'm at work when I'm tracking my books.
I feel that. Yeah.
But, you know, the phone app is a different story as opposed to like the desktop app or website or whatever.
Right.
So I set mine at 50. I think I've exceeded my reading goals the last couple of years. I think I set mine at 40 last year and ended up with like 55 or something. The first year that I started going to library school, I'm like, oh yeah, 50s. I'll never hit 50. I hit like 80 or something.
Well, because reading.
Who has time for that?
Well, I was going to say reading does become part of the job, right? Yeah. Like you're reading for your book club. You're reading. Sometimes you're reading an advanced reader copy.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. I was like, I'll never be able to reach 50. But then I discovered audiobooks. Audiobooks is reading.
Yeah. Well, and I when I say reading, like I think I've read 3 print books in the last year that I have held in my hand. Everything else has been audiobooks because I am not one to sit down and focus on one thing at a time.
Right.
It's driving an audiobook, dishes an audiobook. I have one when I'm in the shower, when I'm getting ready, anything, any downtime I have or any other task, I always have an audiobook going.
Same. Now, my brother does this one where he wants to read 12 print books this year. That's just 12 print books and the rest can be audio.
Yeah.
And I commend that, but I'm like you. I'm like, I'm just going to read when I can. And if it's print, great. If it's audio, whatever. But I also, like I said, I set it up to 50. But the thing that I don't like about the 50, not 50 books in 50 weeks, but the thing I don't like about setting that up for 50 is I feel like I have to do it. Right? Like I just said at the very beginning, I'm already behind. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I won't stress out too much about it.
And I've done it so many years now that I know there's certain times a year where I will get through a book every 3 or 4 days.
When I'm on vacation,
And then there's sometimes like early, I always travel a whole lot in June and I actually don't, I mean, if I'm on a plane or something, I'll listen to an audiobook, but like when I have a lot of activity to do, I don't read as much, but I know like January, when it's been -3 for the past couple days, like I'm getting through books like crazy right now. I'm on my 4th book of the year already. So I'm ahead of the game, which means like when I hit June, I'm going to relax a little.
There you go. I got to do the opposite. I'm going to probably catch up in my vacation days and do that. Cause honestly, there's only so much TV you can watch.
Yeah.
And, what book to TV or movie adaptation are you looking forward to this year?
So I just read Black Cake by Charmaine Wilkerson.
That is coming out soon.
I finished it. I think it's already out on Hulu.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it's a Hulu show because somebody was telling me they watched the show. And naturally, the book is better than the show.
Obviously.
But I was completely shocked. My favorite book of 2023, I finished it in 2024. But Black Cake, amazing book.
Okay.
I was thinking it was going to be like, the description doesn't really do it justice. It's like about a mother who passes away and her kids reunite to listen to this audio tape that she left for them. And I'm like, this sounds like a soft family mystery kind of like exploring our mother's path. No, there is like a murder at a wedding and people fleeing the country. And like, it's so exciting and unexpected. And like, it was just such a cool book. And I wish I finished it in 2023 so that I could have that be like my capstone book. But
honestly, I heard that they're turning Project Hail Mary into a TV series.
Oh,
The Andy Weir sci-fi novel.
He's amazing.
He is good. But I don't know when it's coming out. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Which kind of ties into our next month's topic, which is going to be book to movie / TV adaptations.
Which almost everything is option. If it's a bestseller, it is option for Netflix, for Amazon Prime.
It's like a part of the book deal now.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, that should do it for us this time. Thank you very much for listening. We would like to thank Orion Neighborhood Television, ONTV, for providing the recording studios for We Blame Our Shelves. You can also find episodes of We Blame Our Shelves, maybe at our website, maybe by the time this hits the recording, we don't know, but you can check Orion Neighborhood Television SoundCloud. That's where you can find all of our episodes. If you have questions, comments, or would like to give us a topic to discuss, you can email us at podcast@orionlibrary.org, and you can check out everything for your shelf from your local library. Please support them by any means you are able. Until next time, I'm James Pugh.
I'm Dan Major, and make sure you read harder in 2024.
However you want. Listen to it. Audiobooks is reading.
Yes. It's the most important thing. Bye, everybody.
Bye.